On today's episode, why are Catholics so drawn to the rosary? Welcome to Distilled Faith, the show about prayer. Catholics are known for being very devotional, having rote prayers, memorized prayers, not as much for their spontaneous prayers. And the question today is why? What is the value that Catholics find in them? And especially when it comes to the prayer known as the Rosary. Well, today we're going to go deeper into that and also share some personal experiences. And so I'm very happy to welcome Gooch to the show. Gooch, thank you for joining me.
Oh, that's great to be here. Thanks for having me on, Father Kevin.
Yes, I am looking forward to it. And do you want to tell me just a quick word about the guest that you are bringing along with you, the drink for us to share today?
Oh, yes. One of my favorite scotches, Johnny Walker Green, mix of the every region of Scotland into it. So beautiful. You can taste everything that scotch is supposed to be.
Well, I have not had it. I look forward to joining you with that.
Awesome.
So Gooch, for starters, what is the Rosary? How would we explain it to someone who is not familiar with it?
For me, the Rosary is a walk through the Bible, walk through the life of Jesus. It's a gift given to us many years ago, using some prayers that most people would know. And it does take you through the life of Jesus, through almost the entire New Testament.
Yeah, so I think you have a Rosary with you now, right?
I do.
And I keep this one in my pocket.
I keep this one in my pocket all the time.
So we have lots of beads. We have five different sets of 10. So five decades is one of the terms we use. And like you said, it's a Bible study. Well, tell me a little bit more about how is the Rosary a biblical prayer?
It is a walk through the life of Jesus. There are four sets of decades to the Rosary. The first, the joyful mysteries, take you through the Annunciation of Jesus to Mary, that Jesus was going to be born, the Savior was finally there, through when he was about 12 years old, when he was found in the temple. And it's a meditation on each of the five mysteries, the Annunciation, Mary's visitation to her cousin, the birth of Jesus, his presentation in the temple, and finally, finding in the temple.
Sure.
When he was 12 years old and thought lost.
Yeah, and so at least in my experience, there's been many different ways that people pray the Rosary. Sometimes they know those scriptural scenes from memory. Other times people open up their Bible and they go to those scriptures and kind of let the word come alive as they pray it. So tell me, how does the repetition of the prayers enhance those scriptures coming to life?
Especially in Our Father, we're asking God the Father to be with us, he's given us a formula of how to live. And I just roll over in my mind the scriptures that go with that, or I listen to a scriptural rosary where somebody's reading me pieces of each of the mysteries, which is
like breaking down verses per like Hail Mary in that decade.
Right. And so you can go through 10 scriptural verses with the Hail Marys, with it, with the Our Father with it, that says, here's what I've taught you how to pray. And a Hail Mary that's, you know, really the center of the Hail Mary is Jesus and asking for his mom to pray for us. Don't think you get a better person to ask their son, hey, can you watch out for a Gooch? He needs some help.
Well, and it's so interesting too, because as the Gospels speak about Jesus's birth and such, there's a very simple question. Where did they get that knowledge? Where did Matthew and Luke learn about Jesus's birth? And his mother Mary was probably a very likely human source to just go and ask. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was involved as they prayed to be inspired as they wrote their gospel, but they had Jesus's mom as well as someone they could consult with. Hey, how did that go down, you know? So asking her to intercede for us as we are contemplating those moments, how appropriate.
I think it's beautiful. And the fact that I can go to Jesus's mom right now and ask for her to pray for me is something incredibly powerful to me I just think if Jesus was, if Jesus' mom asked him, it's like, can you help out somebody? I think he would say yes.
Yeah. Well, so, speaking of our moms and our dads, growing up, I know that there are many Catholics who were kind of forced to pray the rosary. Maybe they had a family rosary night, or maybe it was every night. Each person grew up in a different situation. How would you explain what the rosary means to you from a personal lived experience now as an adult that might help a person who maybe was kind of forced to pray it when they were a child, but never really, didn't really come alive for them?
I do remember praying a rosary when I was first grade. It's the first time I remember hearing it, and I was forced to, as a first grader sitting in the living room, and my mom was trying to instill this, but it really didn't go far. I think for me, I picked it up in either high school or college. I do remember praying as a freshman at the Air Force Academy with a friend who is now a priest. We would walk the mountains in Colorado with the rosary and pray together. Just he and I, or he and a couple friends, and I would walk and pray the rosary. It was, to me, relaxing, but not just I'm getting away and just need to, you know, blow off steam or whatever. It was a thing that recentered me. I could feel God's hand on me. Like, okay, you need this relaxation. You need this. We also need to be surrounded by great friends who will pray with you.
Well, and that's really interesting. Like you said, in a moment where maybe you're flustered or angry, the fact that we say the prayers that we do with a certain cadence, I think sometimes the outward perception is that, well, we're doing it to we're doing that thing that Jesus said not to do, like don't multiply your prayers or just say lengthy prayers so that you kind of impress God or impress others. But I would say it's what you just described is by saying the prayers with a certain cadence that's at a reflective pace, it controls our breathing too. And controlling our breathing can calm us down physically and therefore make us more disposed to prayer. Would you agree?
Oh yeah. That's probably the best thing about that time in my life, walking around with Jim Williams, Father Jim Williams now, just to, it relaxed me physically, but as I think the first mystery of the rosary, I was probably a little bit focused on, I need to calm down. And by the end of the rosary that day, I was actually very much meditating on what the mystery was, whether that was the, you know, visitation or, you know, about the
when
third.
When Mary visits Elizabeth.
Right.
When they're both pregnant, yeah.
Right, or, you know, the one that always grabs me, my favorite is the descent of the Holy Spirit. We were praying.
Yeah, Pentecost.
If we were into that, then that's about the point where I would start to become, I guess, fired up. Where it was really the meditation was doing what it really, to me, supposed to do. It's drawing me back into the Bible, into the life of Christ, into what, you know, why am I praying this anyway? Yeah. It's not just for physical relaxation, but to meditate on God.
Yeah, you know, when I was in college, I did not grow up with the practice of praying the rosary regularly. It was something that I knew about and maybe prayed a decade here or there. But it was when I was in college that I started praying it more regularly, even daily or almost daily. And I remember the day, I don't remember the day, the hour, but I remember the experience of when I was praying it and I got so lost in the reflection, just like a person can open up the Bible and be reading and rereading a scripture, like the Lectio Divina practice, and just kind of getting lost in the scene. Their eyes are closed, the scene is coming alive to them. And I remember I was praying the rosary with a certain mystery and it was coming alive to me. And I got to the end of the decade, because my eyes were closed, and I got to that bead and like, oh wait, like 10? I've done 10 already? Like, where did the time go? And then I realized, you know, I've prayed the rosary so much. Like, okay, the 10 beads are there to remind you, like, okay, you haven't checked the box yet. And it was almost like telling you how far to go. But when I got totally immersed in the prayer, I realized actually the decade is to remind you, okay, you've done enough on that, now maybe go to the next. Right, and I was like, wow, that's a very different way. But again, so beautiful. And for those that haven't experienced it, I would encourage them, you know, to really try to, you haven't known the rosary until you've gotten lost in it.
If I get lost, it's with one particular decade is the first of the sorrowful mysteries, the agony in the garden. And it's that always, that's one I can picture, I can feel, of Peter falling asleep. And Jesus walking up to him, he couldn't stay awake for 1 hour. And then to me, the scariest prayer in the entire Bible is what Jesus says to God the Father. It's like, not my will, but your will be done. Find it real difficult to pray that at any time. That decade just, it always grabs me. And I'll lose myself in that. Unfortunately, it's the first decade, so I'll stop. Just, okay, that's a great meditation for today. And I end with that, not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah.
So the rosary has drawn me into that. Just the level of prayer, the level of thought, meditation that goes into it.
Yeah. Well, and even I'm going back to the scene you described earlier with now Father Jim, who did the walking rosaries with you so many years ago. And to think of walking with a special friend, a very faithful friend, and how that can encourage us and guide us and support us in our walk with Christ. And that scripture, you know, not my will, but your will be done. To think of Mary accompanying us when we reflect on these moments in the life of Jesus, the life of Mary, the life of the apostles. And she is, again, one who said, may it be done unto me according to thy word. Like, what a beautiful companion to have on our journey, praying for us, asking for her intercession, because she also did the Father's will.
Right, and that's to think of a young Jewish girl, you know, not rich, and where this could have her thrown out, and really, if she was found pregnant outside of marriage, that could have had her stoned. But to place that level of trust in God, say, yes, I'll do what you say. It doesn't matter. No conditions. Do it to me according to your will.
Well, Gooch, thank you so much. This has been very fruitful and great for me, too, to also remind myself and hear your stories about how fruitful the rosary has been over the years. And you mentioned a scary scripture about Jesus in the garden, you know, not my will be done, but your will be done. Is there a saint quote or a scripture or just something else that is encouraging to you that when it comes to your life with Christ and your walk in prayer that keeps you motivated going forward?
I think it's probably the Great Commission. We talk about it in my parish all the time, constantly. The Great Commission is, you know, go forth and make disciples of all nations. That's my job. That's what I've been given a task, what everybody's been given a task. And the rosary gives me, if I want to evangelize somebody, if I forget everything, which I'm not a great, you know, go up and meet somebody, hi, let's talk about Jesus. But if I can sit down with a glass of scotch or a cup of coffee and talk, I can go back into the rosary and say, okay, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about when he was born, where he was born. Let's talk about his mom. Let's talk about the circumstances of his birth and him being, you know, as a baby being presented in the temple. So that Great Commission gives me not only just energy, that's what my job is, but the rosary has given me kind of the method. It's something I can meditate on all the time. It takes me through the life of Jesus. And then when I get flustered, when I'm like trying to tell you about it, I can always just kind of reset and go, okay, think about this. You pray this every day. So, the Great Commission's awesome. Go forth and make disciples of all nations.
Yeah.
It's good marching orders.
Yeah, and we all have different ways to live that out. Like you mentioned, you have your conversation pieces, a nice scotch and having a good conversation. And, you know, if the Lord has commanded it, we trust that he has provided the grace sufficient to do it. And again, the rosary is a beautiful way that when we get fearful on the road to kind of recenter, I'm sure the apostles and Mary had their share of fears. And so by reflecting on their experience and how they stayed true to Jesus, I think will help us all the more stay true to him. So Gooch, thank you so much for being on with us today, and we look forward to having you again.
Awesome. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for time to talk about the rosary. It's amazing prayer, it's amazing meditation, and keeps me centered.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Distilled Faith. Please like, share, and subscribe. And don't forget to click the bell below to be notified of future episodes when they are released. We want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. Thank you so much for your support. We're so grateful. And if you would like to be a sponsor going forward to support future episodes, look below and click the Patreon link so you can help us continue to provide content and reach more audiences. Thank you again for joining us. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Distilled Faith.